Glory to God. Well, this morning we're going to continue in our teaching. We started last week on, which I titled Jesus, God's Plan of Salvation, and really looking in Genesis, and we're going to go there today again, Genesis, the 22nd chapter, because really this is about Jesus. The whole point of this is Abraham. There's a lot about Abraham that you could take from him and see patterns concerning Christ. Here in this instant, we need to really get a revelation in this area because of what God's doing. One of the things that I've learned over the years is this. God does nothing without purpose. God never does anything to show off, just to show that he's great. There's a purpose in what he does. God can never act outside of the laws of the Spirit that he set. If he does, if he can break them, he has no right to say against anybody else that would break them. He never does. We have, in the church world, we have this thing about God being in control. I've often wondered what people mean by that. What do they talk about when they say God's in control? The term they use of sovereignty. Many times people use sovereignty and say the word and it's used wrong because really it's in God's in control and no, he's not. We don't understand this. We think that in the earth, and we need to understand this, in the earth, God gave dominion to man. If God is in control, then he is no different than the devil. He's a usurper of authority. He don't pay attention to the lines that he set. He doesn't do that. Jonathan Edwards, who was an evangelist back in colonial days, Jonathan Edwards says this, it seems if God can do nothing in the earth unless someone asks him. Well, man, that's not a lot of quote to that today, because most believe God can do anything he wants to, if he just wants to do it. No, he can't. And to understand, this story that we're talking about Abraham, why is God doing this story? What is the point of Abraham having this great faith? What is why doing what he does? God is setting a precedence in the earth. Is number one, God is looking. See, man has to open the door for God to opportunity for God to move in the earth. Man has the dominion. Man must yield to God to allow God to do things. You need to know this. God just don't do stuff. People think, well, you know, God blesses if he wants to and if he don't want. I mean, sit down and study about God in the Bible. You don't think he wants to bless? Do you think he likes, you know, people? God is in control. And it's like years ago, one reporter made the statement. He said that he wasn't a Christian. He believed there was a God, but he wasn't a Christian. But he said, I hear the Christians say God's in control. And he said, if he is, he has sure made a mess of things. Well, hasn't he, if he's in control? I mean, going on in our country, this is God's control? You know? And seriously, there's a so-called, quote, conservative radio host who always talks about being a Christian and different things. And before our last elections we had here back in last November, this guy said he was going to, I'm going to pray on my show. He said, you know, I'm going to pray on my show. We're going to pray for the elections. And, you know, usually he doesn't do that. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. I want to hear him pray. And this is what he prayed. Well, God, whatever you want to do, if you want evil to dominate them, we'll go with you, whatever. Or if you want good to dominate, whichever you want. He called that a prayer. That was a prayer. In other words, God's in control. He's going to do what he wants. Why pray? I got better odds if I go to Vegas. And that's serious. I mean, churches ain't nothing but casinos. Try to roll the dice to see if God will do something. Sit around and say he's good. Well, God, if you want evil to rule, did God send Jesus for evil to rule? It's like, give me a break. But people get these weird things in their minds. But we want to look at this because we're going to look at some other areas in the Bible, things that God dealt with, that God dealt with man and had to deal with authority. So God could do what he wanted to do. Man giving, we have to tell you, we have authority in our hands. We choose. See, the majority of the church world is Calvinistic. It's Calvinistic. And the Calvinistic teaching is based this. It's based in the fact that God's in control. Even people being saved, God chooses who's going to be saved and who's not. God chooses that. Well, I wonder how you believe that. Why would you preach the gospel? If God chooses people to save them, they'll get saved whether you preach them or not. Why pray for anybody? I mean, that whole thing is really crazy to have a foundation in their belief like that. Then why do we do the rest of what we do? It doesn't, no, the rest of it don't matter. If God is picking and choosing, is God doing it? Then turns around and, you know, man has a, then we talk about the will of man. Well, then man don't have a will. You know, it makes out the Bible to be a lie, and it's not. What people don't understand is God moves and operates. God has foreknowledge. He knows what you're going to do, whether before you ever did it. He knows. He can't help it. He knows everything. He knows from the beginning and the end. But don't matter, He chose for you to do what you did just because He knew what it was. You know, I can't throw that back. You know, if God gave me a vision or gave me a word of knowledge, what you're going to do tomorrow, that don't mean I made you do it. I just know what you're going to do. But people, the Bible has gotten so twisted. And that's one thing I encourage you to do. Sit down and read the Bible and quit. Don't, we have too much today and even things that are being taught by good ministers, but they're not taught correctly. Because they just preach what has been passed on from before rather than sitting down and looking and trying, is this stuff really true? Don't you want to know if something's really true? I do. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not against them. But we have passed too much on that has not been correct from the Bible. And whether we realize it, it hinders people. It hinders people. It hinders their faith. It hinders their confidence toward God. We're telling stories of things and we're, you know, it's very easy to do. You have a certain ways of believing, so you try to make the scriptures all turn to your way of believing when there's some that don't turn away to your believing. And we've gotten good at that. Let's not study those parts. We don't like them because they don't really speak well to what I believe. Well, man, I found this out. Just read and study them all. Because there's a truth and you need the whole... See, today, you know what? There's no much passed on and it's just passed on from people. The Holy Spirit ain't even involved anymore. He's no longer the teacher. It's like, we got it all. I'm going to tell you what, I need Him every time I sit down and look at the Scriptures. Amen. Every time I look at the Scriptures, I'm amazed. Look at things I've looked at years after years and look at it and I think, I never saw it that way. The Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. He's the teacher. You know, I can teach without the Holy Spirit. A lot of ministers do. I mean, I get these things in the mail all the time. And, you know, they get these, send these emails, all this stuff that they're sending you. All the sermons you need to preach and that stuff. You know, and these guys act like they're really spiritual. I mean, we get spirit-filled ministers sending stuff out, giving you notes that you ought to preach. They are a hindrance to Christianity. Those guys are the devil's boys, whether they realize it or not. No minister should be looking to some other minister to give them notes. You got the Holy Ghost, you find out for yourself what God's saying. You find out for yourself what God's saying to preach. He might be preaching out to his congregation and they might like it, but that ain't what God wants you to preach to yours.
Amen. Amen.
These people ain't nothing but a hindrance. They're nothing but trouble in the body of Christ trying to make it easy. It shouldn't be easy. It should. I don't want it to get any easier seeking God.
Amen.
I've watched the easier seeking God stuff. Have we got closer doing it? It's still the same old thing, you know. You know, I got how to spend time with my wife to know her. You know, it just, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And anyhow, she's back here. She didn't hear that. She'll hear it on that. She'll hear it on the tape and tell me. So, but anyhow. You know, that's why we see God. There's nothing gets away from us having personal relationship with individuals, whether it's God, that takes time. It takes time to know. You don't know, you know, you don't sit down. I mean, you can go to all these dating sites and all that kind of stuff and read all the lies they say about themselves and all that kind of stuff and show pictures, you know, the ones that they touch up and that stuff. When you go to meet her, she has a wart in her nose and all kind of stuff. You know. And he has 3 years, and you know, so something weird, you know. And people say all these wonderful things about themselves, but you're only going to find out when you meet them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to find out. Mm-hmm. Don't matter what the rest of the song and dance is. You know, they found out, you know, they're on Christian sites. People lie about themselves just as much as they do on the world sites. That's good for preach it, I'll tell you, we're having a big time. Hallelujah. But over in Genesis, we're looking at this. This is God's moving, and this is really important. It's important for us to understand. God put, this is in Genesis. It's one of the things is the Lord spoke to me years ago about the end, because the Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. And the Lord spoke to me and looking in and studying, I was doing on the end times. He said to me, I'm going to take you to the book of Genesis, because all the principles of Revelation are in the book of Genesis. It all starts, the foundation is laid from the beginning, how God established things, what he did. And you have to see them, and you can look through those things. See, there are types and shadows there that we see, that really the fulfillment of them are in the New Testament. But you gotta go back and look at the types and the shadows. Remember, the apostles did not preach from the New Testament. They didn't have one. They preached Christ from the Old Testament. All that they preached and all that they did was out from the Old Covenant. So, is number one, they had the Holy Spirit. But see, the Holy Spirit can reveal things and show you things, and you need to know that. And when we're looking here at Abraham, we start off last week, and in the beginning, we're going to back and read from verse 1 again. It says, now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice on one of my mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And so we're not going to go through all that from last week that we talked about there. This is we're talking about an act of faith here that this man is doing. God spoke to him. I want you to get this thing. We sit and people marvel and look at what people did. We talked about on Wednesday night with Gideon, where God took Gideon in a short period of time from one place to another to trust him. But understand, God took him. God didn't start him off at the top. The first thing God said, go down there and tear down an altar. Then he turns around and takes him. And so Gideon tested God. Gideon turned around and asked, well, if you're God, you're going to do this thing for me. He said, I want you to do something for me. Now, people make fun of Gideon doing this because they use this thing, don't put out a fleece. Well, we don't in ours, but there's some way. You have to learn to test. Is God what he said he is? Well, prove it to me, God. See, the church has been willing to say, well, yeah, God is good, and they don't have nothing good in their life going on. God's doing nothing, and they turn around. People, you know, somebody dies, you know, somebody out here is murdered. Well, God had a reason for that. Oh, man, don't that really make you love him? I mean, I just want to, oh, I'm so glad, God, you had him killed, because you, oh, that was just wonderful. That was your will and plan. Why don't we worship him for it? When those bad things happen, why don't we, oh, thank you, God, for killing that person. Thank you for giving them cancer. We're so glad they suffered for so many long time there and suffered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They say, God did it. Shouldn't we worship him for it? I mean, he's God. See, we got all this crazy nonsense that goes on out here. Crazy things. And it is crazy. Hallelujah. But God's moving here. God is doing a test. God is taking this man through a test. Now, let's see. He didn't give him, at times, when the first test God ever gave him, it was a little one. Maybe not to us. Some people might not think. God said to him at first, he said, I want you to move to this land. Now we find if you follow scripture and you read over where Stephen talked in the book of Acts before they stoned him for telling the truth. You'll get that today too. So you tell the truth, you might get stoned. Anyhow, he told him down there, he said, where Abraham was first called of God to go into the land when he lived down in Mesopotamia, when he was down there. And then he moved up north further, and then God spoke to him after his dad died and said, okay, I want you to go to the land of Canaan. So the first thing that God told him was, I want you to go to the land of Canaan, and you go over there, I'm going to bless you over there, and I'm going to make you a blessing. That was the first thing that he did to him. See, God didn't turn around and say the next day, okay, now I want you to sacrifice your son. He went on for years and years before God. God, if you follow his life, and the things that God took him from step to step to prove himself. You see, you couldn't sacrifice one of your children by faith because God never told you to. You couldn't have faith to do it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You have no place to say for you to do that. So this is what people do. Oh, I wonder if I'd be able to do that. I wonder. I could do any darn thing God would tell me to do if He begins to build my faith to do it. And He always did that. You'll follow in Christ. He never started anybody at the top of something. He started down here. We just get to the end in our little minds and thinking, and, oh my God, what about this? And we marvel and wonder. You think He's any... He wasn't even born again and He could do it? Do you think you could? You know, when Christians sit around and say, man, see, these guys are the top of the list and we're born again, we're children of God, and we're way down here. That's the way we view ourselves. See, we got to get this picture. You ain't going to have more victory in life than you can see that what you really are. Amen. I thank God for the things that these people did. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're born again. We don't have the nature of sin anymore. Hallelujah. See, we, as I've always said, we preach a sin gospel. You're just going to fail. You just ain't going to make it. Thank God there wasn't any preachers over in the land of Canaan. Preaching failure to that man. You just ain't going to make it. You're just going to, you know how we are. Yeah, I know how you are. That's right. People give them offerings to tell them that stuff. I don't get it. Oh, hallelujah. But God's good. Well, you know, so we see, He got up in the morning. You know, that's a phenomenal thing. He just got up in the morning. He's going to do the will of God. But this has been set in Him. And we talked last week why He did that. We went and looked at what the Scripture said. See, God had built His faith. I'm going to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 17. I'm going to start. And this is what God said, it said concerning Him. It says, by faith, when Abraham was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hallelujah. In other words, in his spirit, by faith, he took a hold that God would raise his son from the dead. Because see, God said, this son of yours is going to, your seed's coming through. God's going to have to raise him from the dead. He concluded that. This is why it is so important for you to pay attention to the things you say God says to you or God shows you in Scripture. I see people do this all the time. They sit in a sermon, really speaks to them, but they never listen to it again. What's God say? Or what did God say that spoke to you? You better remember it. This has to do with your faith. Because you know what? There will be a test come. There will be a test. And this is where people fail. God is just like in school. You go to school, the teacher gives tests. You'll take notes on what you think's important. Or you might be one of those students that don't take notes. When I was in Bible school, I had this younger woman sat beside me. She was probably maybe 20 years old or something, 21, 22. She sat beside me in a class. And I took notes. I was a very, really good note taker. I took notes. She never took notes. She sat and doodled the whole time during class. And then she used to say to me, she'd say, because, you know, when you have your midterms and your finals, and, you know, I aced them. And she'd, how do you do that? I said, I don't doodle all during class. This ain't rocket science. You're stupid. That's what's wrong. You're stupid. You sit here and see all this stuff. Well, what do you think's important? You know? And people have to figure that out. See, people sitting around don't do a thing. They're going to try to do it all through their memory and all through their things. I'm going to tell you, your memory ain't that good. You got to learn to hook up with the Holy Spirit. Even lots of times the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance. See, what I used to do, the Lord taught me when I was in Bible school, because I was working, you know, 45 hours a week plus going to school full time, and then, you didn't, between sleep and working, didn't have a whole lot of time in between there, do stuff. And the Lord taught me, He said, because I would take good notes, and I would just read over my notes, and the Lord told me one day, He said, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray about 20 minutes in other tongues, 20 minutes to half an hour in other tongues, and sit down and read through your notes. Well, I started doing that, and the Holy Spirit started bringing stuff up in me. See, it was down there on the inside. But you know, you're lazy. People are lazy and don't bother doing things, you know. He ain't going to bring things up. You know, there are reasons why some people succeed in areas and others don't. It's not your race. It's not you've been deprived. It's you're depraved. That's what's wrong with you. Now that'll go over big. That's going to really go over. But this is what happens to people. See, I learned the success of Christianity. See, I go over, I study the same things over and over and over again, over again and over again at times and go through things. I don't ever consider I arrived on something. Why go back over it? I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin teaching. He had been teaching stuff for 40 and 50 years, and he kept teaching, you know, I've been going over these scriptures, and he said, I saw some things that I never seen before in these scriptures. He said, I've been teaching them now for 45 years. I thought, well, Ed ought to read them a few more times over. I ought to look at them once in a while again. You know? The following the Bible is not like the world does things out here. You go to school till you get your diploma, then you get out, and who cares about all that? We just go on to something else, and we don't even pay any attention to it. No, you're going to need the Word of God. You can't, you know, we're called to walk a life of faith. You can't walk a life of faith, throw your diploma over in a corner, and just, well, I got saved now, and I'm just going to, well, it ain't going to happen. You know, every test God brings you through, you better remember that test, because you're going to need that and some more till the next test comes.
Amen. Amen.
See, when we had midterms, well, you had midterms. Well, the midterms weren't your finals. There was more in between there till you got down to your finals. Not the church. The church don't do it. Really, there's a lot of laziness in the church. A lot of lazy Christians. But I can't blame them. They've taught to be lazy, you know. Just send your checks to me. I'll take care of everything. We have a prayer team, we have this team, and we have that team, and all of our teams are going to take care of everybody, and you don't have to worry. Just send the checks. We'll tell you God blesses you, and it's absolutely wonderful, and whatever. Just listen to my program. Don't work that way. No. I have to have my own program with me and the Holy Ghost to figure out about this Jesus, hallelujah, to learn to know Him. You can't get it any other way, hallelujah. But this man is heading on a path because he received something from God. God told him that this seed, that this young man that he had, out of him is going to come a seed. It's going to change the world. And so he looks at, if this is the truth, if this is what God said is true, then therefore I can go ahead and do this. Because, he concludes. See, you got to get to that fact, concluding. Finding out, what's the Bible really say? What is it speaking? What, you know, like, many people don't know what Christ did for them on the cross in His death, burial, and resurrection. They just say, well, He forgave us our sins. You ain't going to get much mileage just believing that. You ain't going very far. You could have forgiveness of sin and the devil run you over every day of the week. They don't preach you have authority over the devil. They don't preach He's a redeemer. They don't preach that anymore. But Jesus said you must be born again. That's hardly preached anymore. No, just get your sins forgiven. Jesus is a nice guy and you want to have a nice life and accept Jesus and He'll forgive you. And it's this watered down thing that there's no power to it. We don't preach, hey, to the drug addict. You know, Jesus will set you free. Now, He'll have 27 12-step programs you'll have to go through for the rest of your life to try to get through this thing. We don't preach in whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We tell them, no, you're bound. You know what 12-step programs are about? They're about that you're bound and we're going to try to get you free. You know, the 12-step program ought to be this. We start off right away, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. Jesus already delivered you from drugs. You need to get believing that you're delivered, not trying to get delivered. When I got the revelation that I was healed, I never tried to get healed again. Never tried again. When I found out I was blessed, I never tried to get blessed again. I am. See, what you're saying, your thinking, is either put you over or put you under. You're still, you know, when you start off as a baby Christian, you're like, my, God feed me, you know, I need you to take care of me. But you got to grow up one day to come to the point and say, hold it, I can stand on my own.
Amen.
Whom the Son set free. God said I'm free. So if I seem to be bound, well then what's going on? What's the matter? Well, I need to get to the believing that I'm free. See, we want to get to the free before we believe we're free. No. Doesn't work out. Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. See, they have it written down back there in the kids' room about what it means to have faith, that you believe you have something before you can see it or feel it. That is a new concept in the faith movement. Believe that I got something. Believe I'm healed, but I'm still limping. I still got to... Sorry, I'm healed. I just want to thank God, hallelujah, that He healed me. Hallelujah. Say, well, it don't look like it. I would just tell them, hide and watch. I'm not trying to get well. I am. I believe I received my well. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll show up. Just watch. It'll show up. That's what I believe. See, people say, I'm believing for my healing. Well, if you're believing for it, you don't believe you have it yet. What you're believing for... See, I gave that up a long time when I got the revelation that I was healed. When the Lord told me to get out of bed. He said, if you believe 1 Peter 2:24, then get up and act like it. See, I had to put some action. We have a man of action. This is what I love about Abraham. God led him to become a man of action. Right now, a lot of the Spirit-filled church is a talk church. The Lord spoke to me back about this many years ago. He said, we taught, and He said, I had people teach on confession because people just were messed up about it. But He said, they made that everything. No. There's faith and action. It's acting like what you say is true, not just talk. Amen. The two together are so powerful. I tell you, that's the miracle working stuff. Amen. I have proved it out over the years. That's the miracle working stuff. I have watched people have made the same confession as me, but my actions blew up and God moved and they're still confessing. Amen. You got to act. Act like it's true. Hallelujah. Abraham is on a mission. He's going to have a miracle. He's going down the road to have a miracle. That's what he's doing. I'm going to see God raise my kid from the dead. Do you find here that he was crying a lot while they were going for those? This man had faith. You know what faith is? If you're not at rest, you don't have faith yet.
Amen.
You don't have faith yet. If you're in a city and you ain't got rest, you're not faith. Faith is, read Hebrews. The children of Israel said they never entered into His rest. They were never at rest. They were always complaining. Hallelujah. They didn't enter rest. Hey, God's going to take care of this thing. Their first thing is, oh, it's too bad. We're all going to die. And it's going to kill our kids. A lot of people are saying that today. They see the stuff going on and the government doing stuff. They see this. Oh, my God. All this stuff. I've got to take care of it again. I don't know if God can take care of my kids anymore because all this stuff. Get a life. That's faithlessness. Evil talk. Wickedness.
Amen. Preach.
I'm going to tell you what. The government of America ain't got the last say in this thing. Amen. I know that's Jesus. Right. Right. They ain't got the last say in this thing.
Amen.
I almost hate to even see another election come. Because we are in the worship of government. These men are going to set us free. Hallelujah. They know nothing about faith. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm crazy. Just let me alone. I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. Well, we want to go on and look here because he head on down through. It finds us in verse 4, considering Abraham here. He stops and he says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. We can go into a lot of things of types and shadows in this things here, but we want certain things God wants to emphasize. But he goes for 3 days and he can see the place. He's walking in the place and there's a certain place. In other words, unless God has purpose, why is God going to a certain place? Why is this going to take place at a certain spot? Why is this going to happen? See, it's important. This is why you got to know. There's reasons why God did and took people to different places and did things. Why did He do it? There's purpose. God's not just seeing me. You know, God sent me when God told me to go to Ramah. You know what? I was at the point when God said to me to go to Ramah. There was no doubt in my mind. The day that He said it to me, I never thought 2 seconds about leaving my job or anything. I'm going to Ramah. Well, that wouldn't have, if he'd have done that 4 or 5 years ago and said that, I'd have been like, oh man, what am I going to do about this and that? What's this? But see, God had prepared me along the way, and he had got me ready, and he brought my faith to the point where when he told me to do that, it was like, okay, hey, I'd have packed the car the next day. I mean, it wouldn't have, that was just to me. I said, well, Juan, you're going to have to get my wife ready for this trip. You're going to have to do that. And he did. He worked and did that because I knew this. You know, I ain't going to try to talk her into nothing. She's going to have to see. She's going to see. I want God to talk to her. See, too many people, they want to be God's voice to everybody. Like God can't talk to other people. You know, God can talk to my wife. I found she's born again. If he can't, well, then she needs to get straight or something. I don't, but I believe God can talk to her. And you know, over the years, I found he can talk to her. In fact, I got the point, you know, things that I'm going to talk to Wanda about, and I'll turn and she'll start talking to me about it. Why, God's been talking to her. He talks to both of us. You know? I'm not her prophet. I'm a non-prophet. She's born again. She has the Holy Ghost in her. She can hear.
Amen.
And so you need to get over into that thing. Hallelujah. So you know, everybody's trying to push somebody in. I never tried to push her into nothing. I found that that don't work. Just get over yourself. You have to learn the person that you're married to. You know, quit trying to be God and the person telling them what to do all the time. You're going to find that you're going to make yourself a hard life. Pushy people, you'll make yourself a hard life trying to push your mate around and make them do what you want. You're going to have a hard life. You know, I gave up on that a long time ago. You don't try to do that stuff. Hallelujah. Let God deal with them. He knows how to get things working. Over time, I've had things come along, and I just say, well, Lord, I see what you want me to do, but you know, get water ready, start there. And he has been wonderful at it. I don't try to make it, try to figure it out. Hallelujah. Because what happens is I see people all the time. They see one and their partner, and they try to straighten everything out and make them do what they want and all this kind of stuff. And it just builds more and more tension and all kind of stuff. And you just, I don't say nothing unless God tells me to. Hallelujah. You need to learn that, those things. You know, I found that when you're really close with people, there are certain things you just can't up and say at the time. Even if every bit of it's true or right, you have to learn. You have to learn, you know, how to did it. You know, don't pull your gun out and shoot right away. Let them watch you cleaning it and stuff. You know what I mean? Does it make sense to you? Hallelujah. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta go easy on the thing because you just can't up and say stuff. You know, I'm just pretty well blunt about things and that stuff, and I just, you know, that's you know, I wanted to change myself about doing that, because see, when the Lord told me to start a church, I said, all these things about what pastors are, I said, man, I ain't no pastor. Oh, there's pastors, all these really sweet guys walking around with a sheep and petting it all the time, and just cute, and everything's really nice, and I said, God, I ain't none of that. I don't see me none of that. And the Lord said, I know. He said, I didn't, he said, I called you because of what you are. You need to be what you are for what I called you to. See, we want everybody to have the same personality. See, Christianity ain't nothing but a bunch of cookie cutters. That's all they are. Everybody made out of the same thing. And it ain't that way. It's not that way. You know, he's number one. You got to walk in love with the guy that it's hard to listen to. It's easy to walk in a person that says everything you want to hear. You don't even have to walk in love. You like that. Like the Lord told me about, you know, because the Bible says about speaking the truth in love. And the Lord has told me this. He said, if a person comes to you, he said, I don't care if what he says to you isn't in love, but it's the truth. You better listen to it. You better get over yourself. If what's said is true, whether you got your little old feelings hurt, if it was the truth, you best listen to it, because you are going to be judged by Jesus Christ of the truth that you heard. He ain't going to say, well, yeah, you didn't have to listen to that. He wasn't a real nice person. See, this we got to the this devilish, evil stuff. See, we talk out here in the world and all this junk going on, equality, pronouns, and all that all started in the church. We're supposed to talk real nice, pat each other all the time, and nobody can ever say anything about anything, and we're supposed to... That became the gospel. You know, you don't have letters from Paul in the church today telling the pastor to rebuke. No, we don't read that part. Hallelujah. So one thing is I learned about speaking the truth in love, because you got to learn to do it. Because sometimes things are hard to say, but you can't be mean at about it saying it. But you just got to say it. It's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. You know, we find Jesus is sometimes in confrontation things. He spoke bluntly. I mean, how would you like him to come along and tell you you're the child of the devil? He did that. Then there, Peter pulls a stupid on him and he goes, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me." Oh, I know a couple Christians I'd like to say that to. Maybe God send somebody along and tell them sometime. But see, we need to understand sometimes things got to be said.
Amen.
We got a guy here, Abraham. He's on a mission. And this guy's out here. He's heading down through. He sees a place that's afar off. He says, "And Abraham said to his young man, 'Stay here with the donkey.'" He said, "The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you." Now I want you. Now, first of all, let me say about here, with especially if you study lineages of people and ages and that kind of stuff. But I found out, you know, people knew more about this stuff than I do. I'm not a theologian. Sometimes I don't know what that is. I'm not quite sure, because some things I read after theologians, I wonder, where are they at? But then there's other people that are really good and have a lot of good information. But we have down here, and we have this idea that this was a little boy, that Isaac was a little boy. It's very interesting because of the words that are used here. Back in the beginning, he said he took two young men along with him. Here he talks about he said young men, and then concerning Isaac as being a lad. But if you look up, it's the same Hebrew word that they use for young man, and here they speak lad, but it's the same word. Now, it can be word, but if you look this up in use in the Bible, it could be for somebody a lad, or it also many times, a lot of times it is used from the standpoint young man, and also servant. It's used for those things. It's one of the things, I do not believe he was a little boy. I don't believe he was a little kid. In fact, there are many of them believe that he could have been anywhere from the age of 17 to about maybe 21, 22 years old at this time. Because if you sit down and read the previous stuff in the scriptures about what's going on and what happened at the time and what they're doing, one of the statements made in the previous chapter is the fact that Abraham lived in the land of Philistines, says for many days. But lots of times in the Old Testament, you use it, maybe follow after and read after the study of Hebrew. Lots of times statements in the Bible talked about something and saying as many days was actually a reference to years. It wasn't today, it was years. And they know more about the language than I do. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I just, you know, I try to find people that know about the language and find out what they know about the language. And over time I've learned some things and I can look some things up. But I believe because of what we're going to look at it, that God's doing here. Because if this is going to be a pattern of what God's doing, he can't be a little boy. I don't believe he can be a little boy. And we're going to find out why as we look at this. God sent him sent this man on a mission. And he says, goes on here. And he said, we're going to be back. In other words, this man who saw his son, he believed his son was going to be, he was going to sacrifice his son, son's going to be raised from the dead. He said, "Look, we're coming back." In other words, we're going to go up here. They don't know what he's going to do, but he's thinking, "I'm going to go up here. I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice. God's going to raise him from the dead. And we're going to come down out of here. This is going to be something. Wait till we tell him the story of what happened. Wait till Isaac gets to tell this one." This is his guy. He's going down there. So we find it says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son." And it says, "And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together." Now I want you to see this. It says he put the wood, in other words, he put the wood. Now, let me say, if this is a little boy, you're going to offer a sacrifice and burn something that's big? Are you going to have three pieces of wood? If this is a little kid, how much wood could he carry? He wouldn't have enough wood to carry this thing. You know, this boy would be, you know, dragging on, Dad, why don't you take some of this, man? But you know, there's a type and shadow of what he's doing here. The burden is going to be on Isaac, just like with Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. The burden of humanity was laid on him. He's carrying the wood of his sacrifice. Jesus carried a cross. And so we see there's a picture in this whole thing. There's a picture of redemption of what God's going to do through this whole thing. So they're heading up there to do this. Now it says, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now I want you to look what Abraham says here. I've been taught all the times, and they say this is about being a faith confession thing, but it's not, because it can't be of what they try to tell us it is, because of what we found out Abraham was believing. It says here, and he says, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, I want you to get an understanding here of this. People say, see, he made a confession. He believed God was going to give him a lamb. Well, then, why was he believing God going to raise his son from the dead? Why was he? That's not what he said. Read the words. This isn't Abraham's offering to God. This is God's offering. What he said, look what he told his son. My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. God's going to provide for it. This is about God sacrificing, not Abraham. Abraham didn't start this thing. This isn't what he's doing to worship God. This is what God said you do. And Abraham just telling himself, because Abraham knows who the offering's going to be. It's his son. He believes that. Why would he believe his son's going to be raised from the dead? Why would that whole thing would be a lie if what they told us, he's making a confession, he don't believe he's going to have to. That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. That is nothing but faith people trying to turn Scripture to come to their belief of what they believe. It couldn't be, because the rest of Scripture would say opposite. This guy, would he get up there and put his son on the thing and draw the knife if he thinks that there's going to be... No, he'd have got up there and been, where in the heck is that sheep at? God, I'm a believer. I made the confession. I'm the faith guy, you know. I'm not going to have to do it, what you said. I'm not going to. This guy believed wholeheartedly he was going to have to do exactly what God said, and he's willing to do it. And he's believing God's going to raise his son from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What this man has set in motion in his belief has set the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. That's the man's faith. I ain't going to... You know what? They ought to mark that area out of the Bible for faith people, because they can't get it right in their head. This is why they get along and say, well, you know, God, you're not going to have to do this in life and that. Yes, you will. There's things you're going to read that's hard to do. And you're going to have to... You can make your faith confession to try to get out of it, and it ain't getting out of it. You're going to have to go through it. There's some things you ain't going to skirt in life. You're going to have to walk through it by faith, and it's not always so easy. And you got to go through it. Hallelujah. And there ain't nothing wrong with you. See, when we get over, well, faith's going to cause you to serve. God said, offer your son. Is he speaking against God? I ain't going to have to do it. I'm going to believe I ain't going to have to do what God said to do. Oh, I don't want to go there, do you? Hallelujah. Instead of being encouraged by the faith of the man doing it, they tried to turn it into something else, which was not. And I've heard major ministers, and you know, in the faith field, teach you, oh yeah, he's confessed that he didn't believe he was going to have to. Well, then all his actions were fake. All of it was fake. I'm sorry, there was no faith in it. We read last week, James said, faith without works or faith without actions, dead. So if his all fake actions, all that was dead. Everything was dead. All this faith stuff we have here, what was written over the book of Hebrews, that letter to the church, that's all lies. That's not true. No, that's the truth. Hallelujah. He's about to give God what God wants. This is God's sacrifice. It isn't his sacrifice to God. It's God's sacrifice, what God asked for. God said, I want you to go do this. It wasn't his idea. Hallelujah. So he's just following. He's walking along, following God. Just walking in the will of God. Now look at what it says. In verse 9 it says, then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in the altar. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now I want to see this. See, a lot of people think from the fact that he was little, you know, then he could do that. But you know what? Isaac's not being forced to do something, or this is not a picture of Christ. Jesus Christ willingly gave his life. I believe it was a young... See, I believe he had a choice. And I believe his obedience to his father, just like Jesus Christ was obedient to his father. I believe he's just, his dad say he's doing this, he's going along with his dad. Now I'm going to tell you what, you have to really trust your dad to do such a thing in the natural. But he trusts his dad. It doesn't give us what was said and what went on here with this. We don't know the picture. But we know this. He's committed to his father in the will of his father, and he's gonna do it. God told his father to do something, and we're just going to do it. You know, we can read over in the book of Judges. There's a thing where a guy went off to war. God raised him up as a judge, and he overtook the enemy and destroyed the enemy. And he said something stupid on the way home. He said, "When I get home," he's talking about his love for God and appreciation of God. "And the first thing that comes out the door of my house, I'll sacrifice to God." Now, I don't know why he made such a stupid statement, but his daughter came out the door when he came home. Now, it's a very interesting thing. We don't know nothing about this and loyalty and everything else. But his daughter said, "You made that commitment to God," because he wept. He didn't want to do it. And she said, "No, you made that commitment to God. You got to carry it out." Boy, that don't fit American culture, does it? We Americans talk about faith and all that. We know nothing, you know? Well, your kid will stand up and tell you, "Why don't you keep the word?" Is your word any good? You know, you go back into those days in the Bible days and that stuff when a person's word. It's not like America today, you know. People sign contracts. Contracts don't mean anything today. You just take them out and burn them as soon as you sign them. Because they don't mean nothing after they're signed anyhow. People don't have to get it. And they'll find 47 judges that'll side with the liar. You know, you don't have to keep nothing anymore. It don't matter. Your word. It's a powerful thing. See, the word of his father, he submitted to it. Phenomenal. Well, but we have the picture in Jesus. Now, Jesus would have suffered a whole lot more than he did here. What Jesus suffered for the sin of the world. We're talking about what he is. He went to the place of the damned. That is what would have happened to Isaac. But we see here there's a pattern set. So they went to this, they got to this place, they got there, and he puts the wood out, and he binds his son, and puts his son on there. We don't think that he's trying to tie his son down to the altar to try to keep him on it. This is a phenomenal thing. See, we know little about this kind of thing, but if you study scripture, you find out about obedience. We don't know. We have very little. Our culture. This is why we have such a Christianity in America, because it's not tied to Bible culture. It's tied to the American culture. Our Christianity is tied to the way we think. Democracy. I got to vote. That's why when people talk about our government and set up and that's something, they say, "We know God is God may establish our nation, but men made laws." And we're still doing it today. That's a terrible thing. But we need to understand there's things when we look in the culture that they had, and you look, this is why people look at the Old Testament and have a hard time understanding the Old Testament, because it seems so dark to people because you're an American. You have no concept of what you're reading there unless you study to find out what they were like. Why they're doing what they do, why it is. How important it is in this thing, especially from the standpoint of a person's word, is going to carry it out. That gives you something to think about. And so we find them. They're going there. He lays a line. He goes on and says, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Now, is this a lie that he was believing for a lamb? No, he's going to do it. This is what God has required of him. He is going to do it. He believes God's going to raise this boy from the dead. If he has to do it, God's going to have to raise him from the dead. And what I want you to get this, God had brought him to this point to believe this. God had brought him the point to be able to believe it. He couldn't have believed that if he didn't have the word of God. He could have never come to that place. You can't have faith beyond knowledge. He had to gain knowledge that would give him the place to believe that God would raise him from the dead. He had to have knowledge of that. And so if you don't have that knowledge, all you have left is hopefully there'll be a gift of the Spirit go into operation today and do something, but you can't have faith it'll happen. That'll happen as the Spirit wills, not as you will. So, he's operating on a complete level of faith here that God had brought him to. Well, it says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad. Now they called him a lad. That's the same word again, which is translated in the same verses, young men. And he said, do not do anything to him. For he said, I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So he knew that he had fear. He feared God. So God stepped in. In other words, God took him to this place to see that was he going to go this far? How far would he go? See, there are. We need to know that there's legal, really, ramifications to all this going on here. Is a man in the earth willing to sacrifice his son? See, to us that doesn't make sense because, see, we have American laws and the way we run it. Everybody gets their say and everybody gets their whatever. It wasn't. We need to understand spiritual law don't operate like that. But yet, if there's a similarity, the laws. God will always operate within the guidelines of his laws. He always does. In fact, we are going to find, you find out that God, especially you go over dealing with the areas of Job and even with others, you will see that God set, in a sense, legal precedence by certain things that he did. Really, by... In a sense, he tricked Satan to let Satan got stupid, and he let the devil do some things, which really opened the door to allow God to do some things. The devil couldn't close the door on. He set legal precedents. Job was one of them. Job's, you know, the whole book of Job and all the faith people know is a couple verses in there, and it's all they ever preach because they don't know nothing else about it. Because see, they can only turn scripture to, it has to be a faith. And don't really realize there's a lot of things in the Bible that God dealt with man, really opened the door so he could do things. I was just thinking about this. We go the whole way back to Abraham, and this is setting the course of what's going to happen somewhere about 3,000 years later. This thing's happening. So he's setting a course, and we're going to find out that he did other things in alignment with this course. Now I want you to look, here's what the angel says, in verse 13 it says, then Abraham lifted up his eyes and he said, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. See, it don't sound like he was confessing. He said, instead of his son, he was going to do it. He was definitely going to do it. He said, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Said, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as of the sands on the seashore. And he said, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, I want you to see that there's certain things that are said here. Number one, he speaks concerning him and his descendants. And we need to understand this. When he talks about it and makes this statement, he says that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. But he makes statements. He says, as the stars of the heaven and as the sands of the seas. This is an indication of two different heritages of Abraham. Abraham, the stars of the heaven are the spiritual descendants of Abraham, and the sands of the seas are natural descendants. See, among the Jews and even the nations today, among the Jews, there's ones who believed on Christ and there's ones who didn't. Ones are the stars of heaven and there's ones the earthly. There's the earthly people follow an earthly religion. We're part of the stars of heaven. That's why Paul wrote and said, we're the real Jews. We're the stars of the heaven, the one God's we're looking for. We're the stars of the heavens. That's who we are. And they're sands of the seas. He has descendants. Abraham has descendants, not Jewish. They came out of Ishmael. He has descendants. Abraham has he had six boys with another wife after Sarah died. They're his descendants. And they went out, and there was nations that came out of them. And they went out of there. But what is going to be? What he did, even from the standpoint, all the nations of the earth, all of his offspring, all that's in the earth is going to be blessed because of him. And who was it? Jesus. He's the blessing to the earth. Hallelujah. Thank God, I used to be one of the seashore guys. But hallelujah, one day I accepted Jesus. And glory to God, now I'm in the stars of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I changed what I belong to. That's what you... If people don't get born again, they maintain the sand of the seas. You must be born again. You got to become heavenly. Hallelujah. That's what we did. We got heavenly. Hallelujah. You and I got heavenly. We're the stars of the heavens. Hallelujah. We're a different people. We're a different race. You know, there's two races in this earth. People need to get over it. The ones that are God and the ones that are not. Because there ain't 27 different places you get to go when you leave. So you're with your group. There's two groups. The stars go to be with Jesus. And what happens to the earth? Well, the earth's going to pass away. And everything that's in it, the earthly is going to be gone. And they're all going together. When all of God's people go together. How do the heavenly go together? There's two races. See, that's what the devil wants to get us fighting over all this other nonsense. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to get over this other kind of thing and all this stuff. And, you know, hey, there's one equity and it's Jesus. And if you ain't in on it, you forget your equity. It's all this crazy nonsense, stupid, idiotic stuff. The Church of Jesus Christ only has one group. It ain't divided up into whomever. Man can call it whatever they want, but God knows, the Bible says, God knows who's His. That's what Paul said, God knows who's His. Hallelujah. And you ought to know who you belong to, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're the stars of the heavens. Now, it's what is interesting because we need to understand this. God has purpose in all that He's doing. Because where Abraham went, this place that he went, and he went and took and offered Isaac, this is the same place today that the Temple Mount is at. That's where he went to. You see, this is the place that David purchased the Temple Mount. David went to the Temple Mount. He went up there. He was in a bunch of trouble because he got out and numbered the men of Israel and that stuff to see how big his army was. And God had always told him, you don't number Israel. He said, I'll bless Israel. See, in other words, I'll go to war if I got enough guys, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So he's numbering. They tried to talk him out of it. And because he did, a plague came on Israel. 20,000 people died. But he went up to that place, and there was a threshing floor, and he bought it from the guy who was there. He went up there by God to go to that place, and he went up to that threshing floor, and he bought it. And he said, the guy said to him, you know, because he had ox and stuff there, and the wood from the ox. He said, you can use the wood from the ox, and you can use the ox if you want. He said, for your sacrifice. And David said, no. He said, I can't use somebody else's stuff. I got my own. And he offered a sacrifice. It stopped the plague. But it's interesting, that threshing floor David bought is the place of the Temple Mount. You see, God was doing this all along. See, David's under judgment. He went to the place of the Temple Mount and sacrificed to God, and the judgment stopped. God at this place, this is the place where Jesus Christ is. This is the place, Jerusalem. This is where Jesus Christ is going to die. This is where the offerings are going to be given in Jerusalem. You see, this whole thing set. God is establishing a pattern. He gets men to follow through so he can do. Now, just a minute. God had picked a place in the earth, but he got to get men to pick the place so they'll follow it. Do you understand this? Oh, people have this idea that God just does what he wants. No, he had to get men. Why would he have David go by that spot? Why would he have all this? Is he a show off? No, there's purpose in this whole thing. He's getting people to obey him and follow it out. He's getting people to do his will. What about us? See, we take it very insignificant sometimes to obey or not to obey. We don't realize the long term that it has on the blessing of humanity. We don't see as what I do, it could bless humanity. We just see, well, I'm really not a nobody. Well, you know, I'm not much and I don't have much. Yeah, that's what Gideon started off with. You know, I'm the least in my family, and our group is the least in our tribe, and we're the least of the least of the least, and God picked him up to turn around and change the whole nation. But see, Christians sit around and say, well, I'm not knowing. You know, they don't know me down in Washington. Well, that's a good idea. I think that's pretty nice. They don't know me down in Washington. They got to know me. It'd make them nervous. But see, God said, this is why it's important for everybody. Everybody does their will. I'm sure David didn't, but David probably never thought in his mind what he is doing is the will of God who's set in the earth. And we need to understand this. All we see going on today, the finalization of all this is going to happen at that place. Do you understand this? That God established. God did this. He got people to obey him, to carry out where his son is sacrificed at the up in the same place, goes up to this place here. Jerusalem. All this stuff. And God's carried this whole thing out and set this whole pattern. You go down through, that's the establishment of the temple. If you go through, there's so much things that point to this. All these sacrifices that went on in the temple, all this stuff that went on, all pointed to Jesus. Now don't get into this nuttiness today. They're running around trying to find the Ark of the Covenant, all that stupid stuff, you know. There's no power in the Ark. Oh, they're going to find this. Now think about this. Over in Ethiopia, they say they have the ark, and it's in this one place, but nobody's ever allowed to see it. They ain't got the ark. Dear God, who are they trying to kid? They ain't got the ark. I mean, they're faking that one. But people, what are you going to do when you get it? There's no power of God in the ark. The power of God, when Jesus was crucified, the temple, the veil at the temple, the veil was a huge curtain that was about 6 inches thick. Woven 6 inches thick where the holies of holies was, and that got rent in twain. Why? Because the power of God, that was a symbol of the power of God, left the ark. It's living in men now. The power is in men, not in a box. Dear God. God was never in the box. In the box was stone. It was the law in the box. The law wasn't the power of God. The law was the knowledge of sin. The power of God was on top of the box between the cherubims. That's where it was. That's where the power of God was. It rested there. See, people get over these crazy ideas today about things. God has set a pattern and a plan. We're in the church. You know, I don't know why Christians are so worried about whether Israel's going to build the temple or ain't going to build it. I don't really care. I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. They're going to get worshiping together. It'll be heathenism because it's not scriptural. They can offer all the sacrifices they want there. Isn't God going to be excited about it? Because Jesus is going to come back and change that whole thing. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives and go into town, and the king's here. And they ain't going to be out for no sacrifices. See, they're going to follow their own religion. They're going to follow Judaism. Judaism is not Christianity. I don't like that term. They say Judeo-Christianity. I'm sorry. You can cut the Judeo right out of there. I'm a Christian. I'm not Judeo. a lot of ministers use those terms. I'm not. I'm not Judeo. Judaism isn't tied into mine at all. God had the law and that stuff. Jesus set us free from that. We don't those practices. You know, Jesus, God had a hard time breaking the Jews and even the apostles away from the temple. They just wanted to continue in temple worship. They wanted to do that. Well, they've been raised in it. See, I find people do that. They get saved and they still want to hang on to their like to hang on to their other stuff. See, religion can be a very hard thing for people to break off from and get away from. Hallelujah. You know. I see people in Christian, they get among groups and that stuff. They've been trained in long ways, but they get saved. I even saw that with Charismatic Renewal. People got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they just went back into the churches they were in, and over the years they became exactly what they were before they left. They came the same thing. They were just back over in the same practices that they did before and followed the same thing. And, hallelujah. I'm glad that one thing that I did as a young boy, I gave up on the religion I was taught. I thought if God was like that, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. They weren't getting me back there. When I got saved, that was the last place I wanted to go, is back into that stuff. But God had a plan, and you need to get this. In fact, it's God's plan. Your obedience, we need to understand the importance of our obedience. Obedience is what led God to put me into the ministry, he told me. You can go to the ministry yourself. I mean, you can do a lot of stuff yourself, and you can be accepted today and all kinds of things. But it's another thing for God to put you in the ministry. You know, you're going to have to beg for money and stuff like that. You're going to have to do that stuff. You're doing stuff God didn't call you to do. You know, people today, you watch ministries, they come along and they become the jack of all trades and a master of none. You watch, you know, I watch this, people really get along, you know, good ministries, and then they start getting popular on TV, and the next thing you know, they got 47 different things they're raising money for. They got all this stuff, they're trying to get all this money for all these different, why don't you stay with what God called you for? And then, you know, you have to finish your show off the last 15 minutes, you know, trying to get your hand in my pocket. All the wonderful things, you know, that they're doing that you had to, and it's like, did God call you to do any of that? Did he do that? You know, some people are going to be teachers, that's all they're going to do is teach. Until you get on TV, then you become, oh, then we're going to start taking care of everybody else out here and doing all everything else under the sun and 27 different ministries and trying to take care of everybody. I'm not called to that. Now, people like that. People like that stuff. You know, they think, wow, we're reaching people. Yeah, but is it for Jesus? Is it what God's called? Is it what? It seems to me if all this stuff was really God, wouldn't we have a greater move of the Spirit? All this obedience to God and less move of God? I think, hold it. What's wrong? I don't believe you get into... We see and look at obedience in Scripture and we look what God does. You need to get a picture of yourself. You know, there's one thing is God set me straight many years ago because, you know, I looked at people and I looked at their ministries and I looked at things and, you know, you look at stuff, you start thinking in ways about, you know, well, you know, where I'm at, what I'm doing. And when the Lord spoke to me one day and said, you're teaching gift as good as any of those people, those big name guys. He said, your gift's every bit as good. Why is it good? Hey, good because it is. It's the one God gave. That's what makes it. If it's Ed's, forget it. It's the one God gave.
Amen.
See, you. I want you people to get to see where you're. What are you? Maybe you're not called to the same thing that I'm called to. You know, just be obedient what God told you to do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If a man, we look back now at Abraham, and we back up over a little over 5,000 years, and that man, what he did, set in motion a thing to change the world. It could run that long. See, people today, you know, this one that is, I see this thing today is, well, it sort of made me laugh a little bit listening to Eileen. She read the scripture there. People about their lineage and what, you know, they want to leave their mark in the earth. This is what they do. You know, what is it? I'm leaving and, you know, I'm on a hound. They're going to know me for this and that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm about fed up with that junk. You know. It's like it says, no matter how much money, how wealth you got, how big and how many airplanes you got and that stuff, when you leave, all of them sit here.
Amen.
And, you know, all this stuff, it doesn't matter. The mark in the earth, really, for us, is what do we do? Jesus is supposed to be our mark in the earth.
Amen.
It's not about our great heritage. You know, we look back as, you know, Jesus criticized the Pharisees because Abraham's our father. He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd know who I was. See, you might have a lineage behind you, but you may know nothing. Don't try to use some, you know, just because grandpa was good, don't try to throw that out there as if you got anything going for you. You may have nothing going for you. And then on the other side of it, grandpa may have been a scoundrel, but that don't mean you have to be one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody's trying to build their name off of something else and somebody else. And they're trying to... See, I see that in the world today, whether it's ministries or whoever else. You know, I was fortunate to be able to grow up and sit under Kenneth Hagin's ministry, but I ain't Kenneth Hagin, and I ain't trying to be Kenneth Hagin. He was a man like Ed Gibson's a man. He had God, and he didn't know everything. There's things that I could look back today and I can prove from Scripture was exactly right about what some things he said. He realized as he got toward his end years that he was here. In fact, he went and talked about teaching some things on the areas of prayer. I heard him say it himself. He said the Lord had corrected him about certain things he taught about intercession and stuff and things like that. And the Lord corrected him about them. And that was one of the reasons they changed his one book on prayer, because God corrected him on it. Just like everybody else. But see, how do you see yourself? See, this is what people today, they follow a person, they follow a minister, and everything that he teaches, they just stay stuck to it. You know what? There's no need of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're just going to follow it, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You have no need of it. You need the Holy Spirit because you need inside something that bears witness with you. See, I learned over the years of things, of stuff, you know, just like a thing they... You know, they use a term in calling people who are not spirit-filled, where they would go along and say that term, that an individual, you know, wasn't spirit, that they called them a fundamentalist. They use that term. And when coming up as a Christian, you'd hear that term all the time, people being fundamentalists, you know, because, you know, like people would come, when I was in full gospel businessman, people would come and they'd say, well, these individuals were fundamentalists, and you're trying to get them filled with the Spirit. And it was often funny because I used to use the word fundamentalist, and I would use that. And when I did, somehow inside of me, something didn't seem right about using that term. And I just, what on earth, you know? But you think, well, what's wrong with using that term? You know, they're fundamentalist. And then one day, I used that term, and the Spirit of the Lord came up inside of me and said, they're not fundamentalists. Well, then, wow. You know, see, we try to tag a name on everything anyhow. He said, they're not fundamentalists. He said, you're a fundamentalist. He said, you believe the fundamentals of the Bible. They don't. See, there's a lot they don't believe. Now, thank God they believe. I'm not dying. They believe. Hey, the Baptists know how they get people saved. Glory to God. They do a good job and that kind of stuff. But that's where the door usually, that's as far as it goes, is right to there. And the Baptists are having a ton of trouble now because they're in this age. They can't fight battles. They've knocked the people who deal with devils, and they knock with the people and that they did. And boy, now they're in the devil battle. And it's rough on them. It's rough on them. I mean, there's a lot going crazy out here. See, the devil's got into the churches and got into things and all kind of crazy stuff going on. But see, you know, it's one thing. The house of the church is getting cleaned up. I mean, they're finding because of loads of... These denominations and whether they're spirit-filled or non-spirit-filled, the sexual stuff that's been going on and molesting kids and all that kind of stuff, it's a good thing it's being brought out. The people that were supposed to be the good people were the people trying to hide it, trying to keep it from people, this stuff going on. Why? Because I'm just going to tell you the bottom line on it. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Because they know this. If this stuff gets out, goes our money. Oh, my. I'm going to tell you what. Keep the money. Let's get clean.
Hallelujah.
Keep the money. Let's get clean. Because you ain't fit to have money if you're dirty.
Amen.
You'll just use it for the devil anyhow. Seeing a lot of this is going on all over the place. I mean, religion's getting exposed. I mean, you know, before it just used to be the Catholic Church, and now it's everybody's groups around. The Baptists have it, and other groups have it. This stuff is blowing up all over the place of hiding people. And I'm just going to tell you, the spirit-filled groups have been just as good at this thing of trying to hide things. I've been around in ministries, involved in things in ministries, and stuff going on. Sexual stuff that you... And, you know, they quietly put people away. They don't want anybody to know about it. They quiet hide it so we can fester someplace else. As long as it's not here with us. Oh, yeah. I could sit there and tell you the name of big-name ministers had on his board a guy who just messed up as crazy. Large giver, flew around in a jet, so he's got, you know, he's on the team. Guy dirty as crazy. Tried to tell him, no, nobody, we just hide it away. Slowly he's off the board, and slowly he's put, don't say. Today that same man's church, he has a church, he's a pastor, he's a church. Well, his Christian church, now he has a church, but it believes everybody's going to heaven, and everybody, you know, no matter what, and you're just all, you know, the devil's going to be in heaven, and everybody else, and came out of that ministry. They saw it coming and hid it. Not expose it. See, I don't definitely, I'm not one of these guys, bigger is better. It could be, but that don't, just because it's big. There's a lot of stuff. That's why, you know, you want to get real big, you better know God. And you better know, because things can get out of hand quickly. I've watched it with people. It's easy to follow the money. Man, if we do this, and one of the things that is people, and I've seen this happen, they can't do it because, you know, we got this big bill for the church, the building we have, and if we cause this, it's going to cause, we'll lose the building. So what do? You hide sin. Because we'll lose the building. Burn that sucker to the ground. Give the money left over to charity. Rather than have that. Don't play these games.
Amen. Preach.
See, things will get exposed on stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one thing. People that try to expose or say anything, they're run down. They're run down. Oh, you're supposed to forgive. The Bible says, but who cares? I brought this up to a minister. God used to be a head over me. No longer involved with those. But he had a guy that were involved, and they were involved in things and weren't right. His family and stuff. And I said, he had him in his ministry. I said, why do you have this guy in your ministry? I said, the Bible says that if you have a person under his condition, he's not even supposed to be a minister. The scriptures tell us. I said, the stuff that he's doing, his family's not in order. He's got all kinds of stuff messed up. He said, well, you can't take all that really seriously. This is a Rhema graduate. Big church. You can't take all that. I said, oh, the Bible, we've got to take all that. No, you got to. I said, uh-uh. I said, the Bible says. But no, that don't count. Because you don't get people upset because, see, people get... They like him. See, they've been trained in their church. Well, you know, they might be all messed up, but we just love them anyhow. Hey, you can love them while you're sending them out the door. Paul said, you have a person that does something immoral and doing everything. You don't have as much as eat with them. He said, if you have a brother who does these things, you don't eat with them. No, he just said, no, keep them and give them a ministry position. The scripture says this concern an elder who sins. He's supposed to be rebuked openly so he don't do it again. You're supposed to bring it. You know what? This is one thing I found. As long as people can hide it, they will.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They'll come and say, I'm sorry I did it. And I say, well, then let's announce it in front of everybody. That it's going to change everything about you wanting to do it again. Mm-hmm. But as long as you can say, I'm sorry in secret, there's a good chance you ain't going to ever deal with it. You know, there's some things in life you just need to get out in the open for yourself to deal with. You're going to have to do it. There's a day you got to come. You got to just open up. This is what it is and is. And I, you know, I'm getting over this. You know, I believe that's one of the things it says, you know, that John wrote about the faith, about, you know, confessing your faults to one another. Sometimes you got to bring something up and says somebody say you say it so there's somebody else to try to keep you in line. Others know about it. Mm-hmm. We don't today. It's all hidden. But see, an elder who sins is supposed to be brought. Everybody's supposed to know about it. We're supposed to tell him. So tell it. Why? So he don't do it anymore. Because there's a good chance you let it go, he'll be doing it. Has any church, has a Catholic church ever been able to bring things under control? No, they spent centuries hiding it. Now those spirits dominate in the church world. You see, you know, this is good preaching, folks. This is. But see, we have all this in among the faith people talking. I can talk about the faith. I'm in the group. I can open my mouth. If I can't open my mouth, then I want to find another group. I don't want to be in with them. See, we need to deal with these things because this stuff isn't brought up. And, you know, they don't want to hear these certain things. They don't want to do it. It don't fit right with my confession stuff. And that's, those things in the Word don't fit into this things. And he don't fit. See, you know what? That's what one of the things with Jimmy Swagger. That's why he went and turned around and fell two more times. And the reason he didn't, they just a pat on the back and said, Jimmy, you're all right. No, they should have said, Jimmy, you step down. And everybody said, if you don't move and get yourself fixed. No, instead, they kept messing around. Well, he said he's sorry, so we just forgive. No, he wasn't supposed to be done like that. He needed set aside. But wow, you got a big ministry, you got this big seat. So what he did is he pulled out of his denomination so they couldn't do it to him. And the rest of the Spirit-filled people took him in, and he became the critic of the Spirit-filled people. They took him in, and he run everybody down on the faith message. And they're the ones that forgave him. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the truth anyhow. But see, that all wasn't his fault. It's because church didn't stand up and say, hold it. You need to sit down. They didn't. You know, his ministry exists today. It still goes on today. But the only reason it goes on, he had built that enormous campus and stuff down in Louisiana. And the government of Louisiana rents all those buildings and that stuff. He got a big income. He got millions of dollars coming in a year from that. You go look at his church and that stuff, and they have a film inside the church. There's about maybe 200 people in that enormous place. But they sit them all toward, you know, if they can film them just right at the front there and that stuff. But the rest of it's empty. But he got millions a year coming in. See, you got the money. And his son's taken over now, and he criticized the faith people, and they're the ones that did the forgiving to him. See, when you don't follow the Word, you don't help people.
Amen.
You don't help people by following the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're children of God. You can know God as well as anybody else.
Amen.
Don't think because somebody has some big name somewhere, he's smarter than you because he got a big name. We know this for sure. We got loads of people. Look at our government, all the big names, and they're the biggest dummies in the world. So they ain't going to show you know a darn thing because you got a big name. Because people will follow stupid. That's what they will.
Amen.
Even sheep. You know, I heard a minister just say this. It was on the radio. He said he was talking to a guy who raised sheep. And he said about sheep, he said, what is there to know about sheep? He said, there's two main things to know about sheep. He said, they're dumb. Number one. He said, number two, if there's a hole in the fence, they'll find it. I said, my God, that's the church! When you realize that you're a sheep, and without God, you're just a dumb sheep.
Amen.
Without the Holy Ghost, you're a dumb sheep.
Amen. Preach.
That's all you are. Mm-hmm. And you'll always be looking for a hole to get outside the fence. That's what dumb sheep are always doing. Hallelujah. You want to be a dumb sheep? Just quit listening to the Holy Ghost. Quit following the Word and the Holy Ghost, and you'll be one of the dumb sheep. Hallelujah. We ain't going there, folks.
Amen.
We're not going to be the dumb sheep. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. There's plenty of holes in the fence, but we ain't going through them. Hallelujah. I mean, today they just put lights up to where the holes are. You know, they made a ministry now. Hallelujah. But we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. This is what Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. He said, follow the Word, the Holy Spirit, and me.
Amen.
He said, you're going to be okay. You'll be all right.
Hallelujah.
You're going to be good. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do.
Amen.
We're not turning from that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I might not be, I don't have to be bright, but the bright one lives in me. Also, all I got to do is listen to the bright one in me. Hallelujah. It's the same with you. Listening on the inside. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. There's a song that they used to sing. There's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. something on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God, the dumb sheep. Hallelujah, there's something glorious on the inside that's working on the outside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See yourself. See what you are. Don't identify yourself with the world and the people around you. Identify yourself in the Word of God. Identify yourself with the Holy Spirit. Identify yourself with Jesus Christ. That's what you want to do. Hallelujah. See yourself in that light. And you won't be in there. You might sit around and say, well, I don't know what's going on, but well, there's one inside of me that does. Hallelujah. And He's working in me. There's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a change in my life.
Amen.
Glory to God. There's the Holy Ghost on the inside working on the outside. Hallelujah. You know, you might today say, well, I don't feel like the Holy Ghost in me. Well, don't you want, not until you start talking about it, start shouting about it. Glory to God, He is. Don't expect to have something change in your consciousness talking the wrong stuff and thinking the wrong stuff. You thinking bad things? Well, don't matter if you'll be depressed. Just keep it up. That ain't hard. You'll get there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I got something on the inside that's working on the outside, but it don't look like my outside's changing. Who told you to quote that? See, that's what a dumb sheep does. He says what he thinks instead of saying what the Holy Ghost said. Hallelujah. Say what God said about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, you know, if somebody misses the mark, well, I just trip up. You know, why don't you say you're the righteousness of God? Greater is He that's in you than is He's in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sin no longer dominates me.
Amen.
No, I said, well, I just mess up all the time and I got this problem. You just, Say, well, you ain't going to ever get out of it unless we can sew your mouth shut. With some barbed wire. So when you open it, it hurts. So you'll quit talking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our victory is in Jesus. He's the one. You didn't save you. You didn't start this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that started it said He'll bring it to completion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, today. I thank You for the good work. I thank You for the body of Christ. I thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're a people that are full of wisdom. The Word says we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. It says, didn't say we're trying to get it. We have it. Oh, my. We have the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ lives in us. Hallelujah. We have all the thoughts of heaven and all the reality of heaven living inside of us. Hallelujah. Working inside of us. Oh, Lord God, I'm so glad it ain't the way I feel. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, that Your Word's the truth. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, that that truth brings freedom to me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, it rises up joy in my heart. Hallelujah. And that joy on the inside gets strong enough, it gets on the outside. Hallelujah. It can't stay hidden anymore, Lord God, because the greater one is in me. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we're full of strength. Lord God, the Word said, let the weak say I'm strong. It didn't say let the weak say I'm weak. No, the weak are strong in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit quickening our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Renewing our minds. Strengthening us, giving us wisdom. The power of God working through us in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on the sick and they get well in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We cast out devils and they go. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We can walk in all the glory that God has given in that wonderful name. We thank You for it. Father, that name is our name. Glory to God. You gave it to us. Hallelujah. We have the authority of the God-man Jesus. Hallelujah. He's seated in heavenly places, but man, we're His representative. We're the ambassadors here, walking around carrying out His glory and His power that's working mightily in us. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father. Father, You brought victory to the church, Lord God, that people live in victory. They will draw people to victory. Hallelujah. People walking in glory draw people to glory. And I thank You, Father God, the glory rising up in us, the glory working mightily in us. Hallelujah. We have such a wonderful thing to offer. Lord God, Your plan is incredible. Lord God, thank You. And I thank You for the obedience of Abraham. But I thank You, Lord God, we can be just as obedient today. today to fulfill your will, to carry out your will, that you would move and work in us, hallelujah, to change nations, to turn this nation upside down, Father, to working mightily, hallelujah, around us. Father God, we're not a people of fear. You said you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, hallelujah. And this day and time, Lord God, these are our days that we shall prove it out, hallelujah, that we don't have fear, but a sound mind, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the days when people are just as unsound as it can be, people are crazy as can be, we're the people with a sound mind. We're a people, hallelujah, can think, hallelujah, the thoughts of God, hallelujah, can speak the thoughts of God and walk and live in the thoughts of God. And we thank you for it, Father, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you that all you did because a man named Abraham took his son. But Father, there was a wonderful day when God took his son. Father, it is an awesome thing that you did because, Lord God, the devil didn't kill him. The devil didn't do it. Lord God, you sacrificed him. You sacrificed him. And Lord God, he took the burden upon himself, and it wasn't some wood. It was the sin of the world, our sin. All the iniquity of man, the nature of sin, which brought man to depravity, Lord God. And Jesus took all that and paid the price for all of our ugliness. Everything that we deserved in the lake of fire, he took upon himself so we don't have to face your wrath, Father. Hallelujah. God, you loved us so much that sin had to have wrath poured out on. And you said, I didn't want to. I want to give blessing. I don't want to have to give wrath. And you sent Jesus. And Lord God, we just say thank you today, Father. We realize there's no way we could have earned any of it. But it was given to us free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Father, it's wonderful looking back at the side where men walked with you. But Lord God, looking to the future of that day that Jesus would come. But Lord God, thank you that we got to live on the other side.
Amen.
We're the blessed ones, Lord God. We got to live in this earth on the side of the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raised up together with him. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful destiny we have. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's going to be wonderful in heaven to join together with the ones who have walked in thousands of years past. Lord God, what it would be to meet Abraham. Hallelujah. Lord God, of those ones who walk, Lord God, where history becomes alive and in time. Oh, Father God, hallelujah. The walk that these men walked and they lived, and we're going to get to spend an eternity. Hallelujah. The family of God. Hallelujah. Oh, my, how wonderful it is. So we thank you, Lord God. Father, as we leave here today, we're going to leave by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith in the name. Lord, we're called to a life of faith. Not just one or two acts of faith to do something. It's the way we live. It's a life of faith. Live in every day like we belong to Jesus. Living every day like we're children of God. Hallelujah. We might be in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've been set apart by you. And Lord God, we want to live and walk in every day in that manner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whatever we do is by faith, and whatever we do is pleasing to you and in your sight.
Amen.
So we thank you, Father God. We're so thankful, Lord God, the blood of Jesus didn't just work one day.
Amen.
We thank you that that blood continues today, forever, for all that call on that name, but also for the church when we miss it. Lord God, faith in the name. Faith in the name of Jesus. Confess our sin. He's faithful and just. He, our Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, that we can live a life without broken fellowship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Constant fellowship with our Lord. You're the great God who doesn't just forgive, you forget. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.